Hello and welcome to Sean White's Solar and Energy Storage Podcast. Today we have a very special guest. He is a rock star in the solar industry, really a rock star. And his name is Johan Alfsson. You probably already know him. He used to work for QuickMount PV with the Wentworths. We're going to talk a bit about that. And now Johan works for K2. And he's kind of famous for starting Solar Battle of the Bands, and he had his band doing that. He also did some kind of Solar Battle of Comedian things that we can talk about. And then there's the Solar Installer Competition at InterSolar that I think he runs. So what's up, Johan?
How's it going, Sean? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on here and talking to all these people. Yeah, so let's just start off talking about some of this stuff. And so one of the cool stories that you told me one time is like how you got into the solar industry. And so the Wentworths, they started QuickMount. That's kind of like our common link. Is my first full-time solar job was working at Fidelity Roof Company in Oakland with Stuart Wentworth. And we were the two solar guys at this roofing company in 2008. And you were also working for them. Was that like when they had their solar installation company called Quality Solar? Is that?
Yep, exactly. It's funny. I should almost list Quality Solar on my LinkedIn, but it's not there. That was my first introduction into solar. It was basically working for solar installation company in Oakland, as you mentioned. And I actually met the Wentworths. I met Claudia. They were kind of a power couple that started Quality Solar and then started QuickMount. But when they were just Quality Solar, doing some roofing, construction, and solar. I actually ran into Claudia when I was in college. She came through my line at the Danville Trader Joe's, and I was working at that grocery store. I was just a kid. It was fun. You know, she came through my line and I helped her. We just wrapped. I was an environmental student at San Francisco State and just totally jazzed on the topic of solar. And she told me they owned a solar company. And she always loved to tell the story. And this is a true story. She had a module in her Prius. And, you know, back then the Prius were kind of new. You know,
brand new.
Like early, it's like early 2000s.
Yeah. I had one back then.
Yeah.
People would stand around it and go like, wow. And then when I got rid of mine, when I got my electric vehicle 3 years ago, it went from wow to like, when are you going to get rid of that piece of junk?
Yeah, exactly. The old original. Yeah. And I think you work with ASUS a little bit as well.
Yeah. I still do. Yeah.
So they were doing a solar homes tour. You know, remember when they used to do that?
Yeah. And Claudia was the president of NorCal Solar.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I am right now. Yeah.
Oh, right. So yeah, there's a lot of intertwining. So I basically sweet talked her, you know, I threw on the Johan charm as much as I could because I just wanted to not work at Trader Joe's and wanted to get a job doing solar. And she literally hired me on the spot. And she told me to come by her house on the day on Saturday, which was a solar homes tour of their house because they had solar. Their house was kind of a green build. And so their house was on the tour for people to come by.
Was that their house in Walnut Creek?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember so they came by like QuickMount testing on that house.
Oh, yeah, totally. So long story short, they had me come by and they had me do the tour to guide people around the house. And that was my quick 101 to solar PV. Stuart basically was like, the module and the array is up there. You know, they were some old like Suntex or something, I think, maybe SunPower, I forget. And it went down to the old Sunny Boy SMA inverter. And he gave me this quick and dirty spiel, you know, transforms it from AC to DC, like the band. You know, that's how I always remembered it. And then goes to the grid. And he's just like, you know, you can just baffle them with BS. They won't know the difference, but just tell them that's where the magic happens, comes down to the inverter. And then you got SunPower created into electricity. And literally, that was my 101, and they said I did a good job. Claudia paid me for the day, and then they asked me if they wanted to help with the install crew, which was basically, I don't know if you remember Oscar Santiago, he was one of their right-hand men. Him and I were basically the solar installers with Stuart, and I was just labor, and I knew I had work tools and did construction, so started doing solar installs. And then they had QuickMount as a product idea. They were always innovators. They had a couple different products in different industries that they were trying to always solve problems with ingenuity, which is really cool.
The QuickMount, I would say that they invented the square piece of metal.
Exactly. Yeah.
Struck
Yeah.
That itch.
Yeah, they were pretty innovative at the time. It's so funny to look back because now that's like the old school way to do it, which is funny because that revolutionized solar roof attachments back in the day.
Yeah. Was Preston Booker working with you back then too?
I was Preston. He probably doesn't want to admit this, but I was his boss at one point. I trained him, but then, you know, he made his own path. But yeah, he did come along and work with us and he was doing sales and stuff. But that was much, much later. A couple different people came on and then the company started growing and growing. And then we got that building that was pretty big. And we had that brewery, Cali Craft, ended up being a tenant in a part of our building. So how convenient, because the building was so big, there was all these little rooms. And this ties back to the music side of it all, is Claudia and Stuart were really nice to allow me to have a little room where I held some of my music gear. And then I hired Nick Pack, who actually works for K2 Systems with me right now. And he's a product manager here. We've been playing music and doing the solar thing for almost 20 years together now. And he and I had a band. And then we hired our drummer in the production shop. So we essentially became a Quick Mount band and they let us practice in this kind of this little studio room that nobody was using. And I soundproofed it with some old crappy cubicle walls and it was pretty fun. And then the Solar Battle of the Bands came along later when people found out we had a Quick Mount band kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember like after Intersolar in San Francisco one time, your band played at Utah. And then the next year there was Battle of the Bands. So I was like, I was there at the first one.
Oh, so you went to the Hotel Utah.
Yeah, and I've probably been to every Solar Battle of the Bands.
That's awesome. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that people think it started and it always was at the Mezzanine, which is a great venue that sadly doesn't exist. But yeah, I mean, it's always funny to someone call me a rock star because I always get embarrassed a little bit because I don't ever call myself any of that. But, you know, it was just the people were so cool in the solar industry and they found out we had technically a solar band. We didn't even call ourselves that. But yeah, the people don't know that. And some people think the first one was at 111 Minna, which kind of was officially the first one because it was called Solar Battle of the Bands. And that was a little small art venue. But the very first one, and if people don't know, I don't know, maybe we should explain, but if there's people listening that don't know what that is, you could Google it. I think there's still a website, and Kelsey and I are working on bringing it back for next year at Intersolar. But basically what it is it turned into a very successful thing, and it was big, but it was small in the beginning. But basically what it is in a nutshell is it was a group of bands that played and technically did a competition for a prize of the best band in solar. And they were bands that were organized by musicians who were in the solar industry. And not only that, they actually all had to be from the same company. So pretty crazy that there was that much talent and organization between not only solar, but just companies. So Quick Mount had a band and I had an original band and then we added musicians from the company Quick Mount and we just played all kinds of covers. I think Fronius had a band. Back then it was Zep Solar, which turned into Solar City, which Solar City had their own band. And then that turned into Test years later. But SunPower actually had a band as well. My sister was actually involved in that when she was working for them. Fronius, did I mention that already? They formed a band. SMA even formed a band.
Yeah, I remember some names of bands, like there was the Rapid Shutdowns. I think you were Northerner and the Rafters, something like that.
Yeah.
And then there was DCAC.
Yeah, that was Selectria, I think. DCAC.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah, so a bunch of companies formed and it was crazy. But yeah, it's really cool to hear you bring up Hotel Utah because I don't even talk about that much. But the way it all started, if people care, is I think it's kind of cool and it just shows how big the industry has gotten. But Intersolar used to be a tiny little solar component of the Semicon conference back in the day when that was more about machinery and things like that and semiconductors and all that. And they had a solar section. And it was in San Francisco every year. And I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area. And I saw that happening. It was not too expensive to get in. So I convinced Quick Mount to do a little small tabletop 10x10 booth, which I hauled in there with my own truck and just set up. And we set up there and it was a small conference. And, you know, some of the solar people would show up, but there was no like parties. There's probably big semiconductor parties, but the solar people just wanted to be together and hang out. So for some reason, everybody always asked me where the party is.
You just kind of look that way. Yeah.
So I had a routine of if that happens, and people are looking for a place, I just pick a cool spot, look on Google Maps, pick a spot, and we all go there. And
yeah, I remember happening.
Yeah, exactly. So I got smart and I booked my band. I had an original band. I still play with these guys, actually. I had an original band and we had a relationship with the Hotel Utah, which is a great little small classic tiny little venue that is very historical.
Yeah. Is that still there?
Yep. They reopened it actually.
I usually would notice it off the freeway, like when you're getting towards the Bay Bridge.
Bay Bridge,
I haven't seen it lately.
No, it's there and they still got it. It's a green building. And if you're driving from San Francisco going east, driving towards Oakland on the Bay Bridge, right before you get on the bridge, you look to the right and there's a big green old Victorian building. And it says up the side, it says Utah.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It's called Utah and they serve alcohol. So.
Yeah, that is funny. Never thought of that. Yeah, it's actually, I think it used to be a hotel. So it's called the Hotel Utah. And they're one of the oldest bars in San Francisco. And also, they're famous for open mics. Actually, a friend of mine still runs the open mic there. And I don't know if people know, but like Robin Williams used to come out of there, like Whoopi Goldberg. And when they were, you know, small names, they were doing open mics there and doing comedy there. And then it became very popular for bands. It's not a big stage. It's really small. So I had my band playing there. And long story short, I invited a ton of people from the solar industry. I booked a night during the week in the middle of the conference and I just made it the party. And so many people showed up. I was very surprised. But I mean, you were there. We packed the house with a bunch of solar people.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really fun. And, you know, people were impressed that we all worked for QuickMount. And so long story short, a lot of people at conferences were always asking me like, hey, is your band here? And I'm like, no, I don't travel with my band for every conference, you know. And then a bunch of other musicians, like from the Zep guys, I was friends with them, you know, Daniel East, Jack West, Daniel Flanagan, all those guys are actually musicians as well. And they formed a band, which is really cool. And they're like, we should do a solar battle of the bands. And so I was like, that's a great idea. And I made it happen. And the Wentworths supported it. And we were like, let's just make a party and get some sponsors. And so we did it at 111 Minna. I just went in there as an art studio and that held like 500 people, maybe a little more capacity. And we had no idea how many people were going to show up and we blew that place's roof off. And I guess the story goes is like some SunPower executive was outside and there was a big line and he couldn't get in because he didn't have a ticket. I thought that was pretty funny because you kind of had to know somebody to get a ticket because the sponsors would basically sponsor and they'd get the tickets and the bands would get tickets. So it was kind of got to be one of the networkers at the conference and get a ticket. And then from there, we moved to the mezzanine, which is a really cool venue. It's behind the old San Francisco Mint building, which is still there. And the mezzanine, I guess they shut it down during COVID, which is sad because it was a great venue. And that place loved us. So they said that we were big partiers. They had conference parties all the time there. And they said that they really liked us because we drank a lot. So their bar did well, I guess. And they partied a lot. And they said that we were actually really nice clientele. Like everybody was really nice to the staff. So, but yeah, since then, I think it went almost 10 years and it was a blast. And Claudia and Stuart were really cool that they gave it to CALSA to be a fundraiser for them. And then Intersolar got bought. They moved it. And then COVID hit. So it kind of just died and it was kind of hard to organize again, but we're working on it actually now.
Yeah. Well, actually the coolest spot that you guys had it was the Warfield. And so I used to see Jerry Garcia there once a month back when I was in college.
Yeah.
And so it's just like this really cool old theater. And I think, what was it like Dan Sugar rented the Warfield for the Battle of the Bands or something?
Yeah, so Dan's the Array Technologies, I want to say. No.
Next Tracker,
I'm sorry. Yeah, Dan's Next Tracker, and he's a musician, has a band, and he's a really cool, fun guy. And he, you know, we were trying to find new bands to join and sponsor, and he wanted to join, and he said, the only way I'll join is if we do it at the Warfield. And that's pretty cool because the Warfield is historical. It's a huge stage. I mean, we were just a tiny little ant on there, but it was really cool. So yeah, 1 year we did it at the Warfield and he helped make that happen. And that was really cool. And it was a little big for us as an industry, but it was really fun. And the musicians probably had the most fun because we were backstage. I don't know if you've ever been backstage, but if you go to the green rooms, there's a couple different green rooms where the bands just hang out before they're going to play. And all the musicians over the years have signed the wall. Actually, Jerry Garcia has his own green room called the Jerry Room. And that's like the main one. And Jerry Garcia, all the Grateful Dead were signing the walls. Kurt Cobain from Nirvana signed the wall. Jimi Hendrix was on the wall. Eric Clapton.
Like, and so who did you sign your name next to?
Oh, I didn't even want to touch that. I'm not worthy. We didn't mess with that. We were very respectful. I mean, half of those musicians are legends that passed away. So, but yeah, that was really fun.
Yeah, I remember it was like Jerry Garcia. It was sort of like just the way he would practice. I think it was like 4 days a month, he would just play the Warfield.
Yeah.
And so I would go probably like once a month and go check him out at the Warfield and see all my hippie friends back in the day.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that place is fantastic.
And I think they might have closed the Warfield down after that. I'm not sure, though, but with COVID.
Yeah, I think they're threatening to close it now, but I think it's still there. You know, that whole Market Street is not doing so well. You know, they're on Market Street, and you can walk to the bay from there, like the Warfield front. So it's cool that it's there, but that whole downtown is just like zombie land, you know, but it's hard to get clientele, you know, to go in there. You can't park, but the inside is beautiful if you ever get a chance to check it out.
Yeah. And they still have stuff going on. So they didn't close. Maybe that was a COVID thing. Everything closed, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Like they got like Phil Lesh and friends coming up and stuff like that.
Oh, so they're still doing shows.
Yep.
Yeah. Great. That's good to hear. Yeah. If you've ever seen the show at the Warfield, that is a fantastic.
Yeah. I remember like they have different ways of setting it up with tables and you can order dinner at some of these events.
Yeah.
But I remember with Solar Battle of the Bands, I was dancing like crazy.
Yeah.
That was awesome. I might have been having more fun than the green room people looking at all the autographs.
Yeah, and they have all the famous posters from show posters on the walls. And actually, we made one, I think, for that one. I still have a few. I don't think a lot of people knew, but we made a poster for it. And I framed one, I have it in my office. And those might be laying around somewhere, but I thought those were really cool as little sweepstakes. And then I still see every now and then at a conference, I'll still see people wearing the shirt. The shirt's classic.
Oh, I have one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I've always fluctuated between a medium and a large in shirts.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And I'm definitely more of a large now. So some of the Battle of Bands shirts don't even fit me. So I'm like, oh man, I should have kept some of those. But I think I only have a staff one left.
So it's coming back. Solar Battle of the Bands is going to be in Southern California next, Intersolar or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah. So Intersolar was always moving around a lot. And I think they were trying to figure it out because they bought it. Someone else bought it. I think it's DevCom. And then COVID hit. So that kind of struck them. Well, that was a little rough start for them. So they were moving around trying to figure out where to have it. San Francisco is a tough place to have a conference. Like, it's a cool city, but it's a tough place because it's expensive. Yeah. You know, it's downtown. So they landed on San Diego. And I actually happened to move to San Diego just a year ago. And I've been helping with Solar Games, which you mentioned, which is something they asked me about starting with them. And I helped them do it. And I'm on the technical committee. And we can unpack that a little later. But also the comedy thing was something that happened with Intersolar as well. Not in conjunction with them, but in conjunction with the conference in general. But because it was in San Diego and it was a little more stable, it started gaining some traction. And I think people like Intersolar more now because it's a little bit more attainable. Then like, you know, RE Plus is great and it's like the big one and it's either in Anaheim or Vegas and it's big. And I wouldn't want to do Solar Battle of the Bands there because like everyone just throws humongous parties and tons of money and it's Vegas and it's expensive and it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, you could do it at the Sphere.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of money. But, you know, it's a fundraiser that we're trying to do for CALSA. So I kind of like it almost a little small and not just like blown out and, you know, it's hard to get tickets kind of thing. And it's not that hard to get tickets anymore. But yeah, so now that they're in San Diego and we have been successfully doing Solar Games, there's talk about trying to get it back. So we're going to make a valid effort to bring it back this year. So if anyone's in a band, we're going to open it up, I think, so that anyone can form a band in the solar industry. You don't have to be with one company, but that everybody has to work in solar, you know, not just like a little contractor or something. I mean, like on the side works in solar. I don't know. We could be kind of open to that, but we're trying to avoid them bringing in just some ringer professional musician that's going to like blow everybody out of the water. We want to have people who work in the industry, you know?
Remember at the one at the Warfield? Was it like the SunPower band? They had this singer, and I was like, that guy doesn't work in the solar industry. He's got to be a professional musician or something like that.
I think I know who you're talking about. No, he was. He worked for SunPower.
He was really good.
Yeah, he was really good.
Like he could go work for the real AC/DC or something.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like there's really talented musicians. I mean, Nick Pack, he's the guitarist in my band, and he's also the product manager for K2. And he worked at QuickBound for, I think, 10 years or something. And you know, that guy is insanely talented, and he doesn't boast about it at all. You know, he's got a family. He's got a job. He does music for fun, but I always try to pull out the music out of him because the guy is an insanely talented guitar player. He's just really, really good. And we still play music together. So our band's called Northerner. And we have a few songs on Spotify, and we're actually coming out with an album this year. But we're an original band. We play originals that we write, and it's kind of on the, I guess you could say, alternative rock, indie rock kind of genre. But when we saw there was, you know, Robert Duvall is a crazy good blues guitar player. I think he still works for the Iron Ridge folks over there. He might have retired, but he did go work for them when they all merged. And he was a blues guitar player at QuickMount, and he's just a ripping guitar player. And we brought him in. And so we were like the foundation. Because I play bass and sing, and Nick plays guitar and can sing. And our drummer, Ruben, he worked at the shop at QuickMount, you know, making QuickMounts and working in production. And then we brought in Robert. And then we found out that one of our guys that was in operations was a trumpet player. And another guy was a saxophone player, and they were really good. And we had a horn section. So we had trumpet, sax. I think they brought in another trombone or something. Just crazy. And then my sister worked at QuickMount for a little bit as well, and we had her singing. And then we had a keyboardist who was like a very shy guy at QuickMount. We brought him in. So it became Northerner and the Rafters, you know, a little play on obviously QuickMount attached to the rafter.
You're always hitting the rafters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it looks like your website is northernerband.com.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we even had a website.
Not me. Yeah. I'm like the big groupie. Yeah.
Yeah. Northernerband.com. That's right. And yeah, we have some stuff on Spotify. We're a small band. You can dig for it. And there's a song that we just released called Last Ride for Free. And there's a little plug for the Bay Area. If you listen real close, the beginning of the song is actually a BART recording. It's a long story, but basically during some of the protests for police brutality stuff, BART was shut down. And the beginning recording is actually a BART message about what they call a civil disturbance in Oakland, but that was actually a riot. And I put that at the beginning because it kind of alludes to the song and then it goes into the song. So that's actually a phone recording I did.
So you were at a riot in Oakland and you recorded it? Is that?
Kinda. I was on the BART platform and they kept announcing that the BART stations were closed from San Francisco to Oakland, and they just kept repeating it. And I'm like, what's going on? And then they say the reason why was because of a civil disturbance at the West Oakland station. And basically that was a riot. And I recorded it on my phone. I just thought it played so well into the phone. And that song was called Last Ride for Free by Northern. Yeah. So if you want to check it out.
I've seen some tear gas in Oakland myself.
Yeah. Yeah, that was when Oscar Grant was the young black kid that got shot by a cop on Rootville Station, and the town rioted because the cop got away with it, which is crazy. That song's a kind of a pissed off song, but...
Yeah, I think it was on video, right? And they shot him in the back of the head and said, oh, I thought it was a stun gun. Was that?
Yeah, he was handcuffed face down and the cop was on top of him and shot him in the back and said it thought it was a stun gun. You know, who knows who's telling the truth, but the cop didn't get anything.
Well, it was on video.
Yeah. The cop got no jail time. And yeah, that was pretty bad. And, you know, ironically, I think that guy's name was either Johan or John or something. I was like, oh, God, all the Johans in the world. Like that guy, seriously. But anyways.
It wasn't you. Yeah. We interrupt you for a very important announcement. Sean White's Solar and Energy Storage Podcast has been brought to you by Sean White's Solar and Energy Storage Podcast. That's right. Sean White is sponsoring his own podcast. And he wants to remind you to go check out some of his classes. You can go to solarsean.com and then click on the links to check out his classes. You can check out his heat spring classes, and you can also hire him to teach classes for you, like at your company, something like that. Now back to the show.
But yeah, so Northerner, I'm still playing with them, but you know, Solar Battle of the Bands kind of fizzled out and we're going to regroup it. But I got to say, Solar Games has become very popular. Mm-hmm. So I think Intersolar wanted to do a competition of solar installers. Well, before Solar Games, you mentioned the Solar Comedy Slam, and I can't take full credit for that. That was actually my sister, Jennifer Alston. She works in the industry as well, and she's an engineer, and she and I are very like social beings. We love connecting with people. We're very outgoing. And
yeah, so you're solar siblings, and you also probably know Britt Heller and her brother, Alex Heller. Do you know them?
Uh-huh, yep.
So there are other solar siblings, and I've seen they've been posting like hashtag solar siblings on LinkedIn and stuff like
that. Oh, that's cool. I didn't even know that. I should do that.
Yeah. And I work with Britt at HeatSpring. I was just talking to her this morning and I was even telling her, I was like, oh yeah, we ought to get the Alfson siblings together with you and your brother and take some pictures.
Yeah. I think there's a couple of us. It's pretty funny. Yeah. So my sister started because Intersolar and Solar Battle of the Bands kind of died down. And when Intersolar came back, I want to say like either 2021 or 2022, it was like when COVID was kind of starting to somewhat die down and people were coming back out. 22, I want to say, but
yeah, I remember they had it in January in 2020. I think it was January. It was like right before COVID was shut down.
Yeah, I think you're right. Maybe that's when it happened. But it was when we were allowed to be all inside again. You're right. I think it was 2020, right before it hit. And I'm pretty sure. But regardless, whatever year it was, you know, the conference was smaller and they were just getting going again to revamp it. And my sister had a bright idea to organize. You know, we wanted to do Solar Battle of the Bands, but it's just like, where are all the bands? The bands all broke up. The companies all split. You know, people left companies. And so it was really hard to get the band back together, literally. And so she had the idea of Solar Comedy Slam. And she's like, there's a lot of funny people in the industry and everybody thinks they can do comedy or maybe they already do and we don't know about it. And actually, my sister and I have gone to some open mics and have done stand up on our own just for fun. You know, I do a lot of technical training. I'm pretty confident talking, as you can see. But going and doing comedy, you got like 5 minutes or 7 minutes, if you're lucky, to tell stories, be funny, and it's got to be quick and you got to hit to the point. So it's so challenging and I've never felt so vulnerable in my life. So every now and then I'll secretly go to an open mic and, you know, I travel for work. I'll just jump in one, see if I can hang. And sometimes I do well and sometimes I get eaten alive by an audience.
Hey, I'll go with you. I went to the San Francisco Comedy College and I put on my resume and it's actually got me some jobs. So
that's awesome. I actually took that too. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Comedy College. Yep.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I took that class. It was fun. I think I still have that book somewhere. But yeah, so my sister wanted to start that. She gathered a bunch of people who wanted to be comedians or have done some comedy, got a couple sponsors.
Yeah, I remember I wanted to do it and then I was already gone from the conference. Like I had another gig or something.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be fun to bring that back. There's talk like maybe we can incorporate it into Solar Battle of the Bands. But, you know, it's tricky because when you go to a comedy show, you have to actually be quiet, you know? And the solar people love partying and talking and chatting and networking. So it was a little tricky, but we did get a venue where there was the front. So my sister organized one for Intersolar 1 year. And we even got a group of comedians and we actually paid a comedy instructor to kind of guide us all together. We actually took a couple classes for like a month before the conference together. We all took classes online together with an instructor and we talked about comedy. We helped each other write. It was really cool. It was very collaborative and because nobody wants to go up there and totally bomb, which some might have.
Yeah, I think I was asking one person, he's like, oh, we were so wasted.
Yeah, that was the other thing. It's like at Solar Battle of Bands, I never drank because I mean, there was 1 year where I probably got a little loose and I played terribly. And I was like, I'm never doing that ever again. And so you got to stay on point, you know, and comedy is the same thing. So we did it and it was pretty successful. And we did it at a place where you have the room that's somewhat quiet and you can hear the comedians. And then there's like a back bar where people can get a little louder and talk and hang out. But it was fun and everyone did really well. My sister actually won it in the end. There was a voting.
Awesome.
They voted, I think, and she got first place. Another guy got second place. And I actually got third place. But that's probably just like I got rowdy on stage, you know?
What? That's cool. So your sister, Jennifer. Cool. Awesome.
Yeah. 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 So that was fun. So we'll see if we bring that back. But then, you know, after that, That's when Inner Solar contacted me and said, hey, you've been involved with Solar Ballad Bands and this comedy thing. It's really cool. We want to do Solar Games. And so that's a competition that's gotten very serious, actually, and very successful. So Solar Games is a part of Inner Solar now. And that one is two big roofs next to each other. And solar installers from all over the country apply to be in it. And then I think there's like 7 or 8 install groups from different companies from different parts of the country. And they compete to install. Sometimes it's equipment they've never even installed before. So we get a sponsor of a module, a sponsor of an inverter, sponsor of batteries, sponsors of racking. In our case, it was us. K2 loves it and sponsors it every year. And so I'm on the technical committee and help organize it so that we can set it up. And there's Travis and Chris, who are from Revision, and us three. And then Rudy is involved as well with the judging and scoring. And so us four were kind of the technical guys. And then there's also Rolls Battery are involved as well. Jeff, he's great. So everyone's involved on the technical side, but we get there and Rudy, me, Chris, and Travis are fantastic. They're from Maine and under Revision. Really great company. I mean, there's a lot of work to set it all up. So we're there days before. And luckily it's in San Diego and I live here. So I literally put the racking on my truck and take it down myself. And we go down there, build it all up. I had to consult the guys on how to build the roofs. And then we put in all the racking. We got the modules on there. And we always install it before they install it so we can make sure everything's good. And then there's judging on not only time, but quality. So we get inspectors involved to be judges. And it's pretty cool. And it's gotten better every year. And now it's like a pretty serious deal. And funny because now we got sponsors who really want to get in, but we've been doing this for so long and we've put in so much work, you know, that the sponsors that already started are kind of like really wanting to keep it going. So it's been really good and it's been successful. And I think it's almost like $10,000 prize for the winner.
Yeah, I think you guys have those like big oversized checks and bleachers and all kinds of.
Yep, we do the whole thing. And last year, Aloha Solar won it. The company, what was it, Soul?
Yeah, it had $1,000 on the Grid Alternatives women.
Grid Alternatives is in an all-female crew, which is really cool. We got people from Washington State. We got people from Nevada. We got people from, I think, Wisconsin. It's really cool. So, you know, and it's all good spirits. The guys are really cool. So if you type in Google Solar Games, it comes up on the Inner Solar website. And yeah, they have all the information. They already got 2025 up on the website and they'll start bringing in companies and announcing them as we get going through the year. So yeah, you can still apply. Actually, it's pretty cool. I was just looking just now.
Cool. Yeah. And maybe I'll explain a little bit about Inner Solar. So Inner Solar was started by the Germans and it used to be the world's largest solar conference. The one in Munich, and they still have that. And they changed the name to the Smarter E just because there's a lot of organizations that are taking solar out of the name so they can include energy storage and electric vehicles and things like that. And so that one's going to be in Munich this summer. I think it's in June. And then they had Inner Solar in San Francisco. And that was actually brought over here by a friend of mine named Ike Weber, who I just had on the podcast. We were talking about the birthday of Hermann Scheer, who was the guy that started the modern solar industry, who invented the feed-in tariff. And so that podcast was released on April 29th. If you want to check that one out, we're singing happy birthday. And so anyway, so Ike, who goes back and forth between California, he was also on faculty at UC Berkeley, and he was for 10 years running the lab, which is like the German NREL, which is called the Fraunhofer Institute. And so they brought it over to San Francisco. And it was really fun. And we were doing things with NorCal Solar. And my favorite thing was that we rented the catamaran and did solar tours and Tesla tours and all kinds of stuff like that. But then after COVID, what happened was Inner Solar sold their US Inner Solar. So it's innersolar.us to another conference company in Maine called Diversified. And now they're running it. And I like all the people. I like the Germans. I like the Diversified people. I like the RE Plus people too. And so anyway, the new people, they brought it down to Southern California. And I think maybe they thought it would be easier because hotels are so expensive in San Francisco. It's kind of fun down there too, because they are in the Gaslamp District over there, the convention center in San Diego. And so you're just walking up and down the street, seeing all your friends. It was kind of fun. And they've also rotated it to Long Beach a couple of times too, the Long Beach Convention Center, where I lost my hearing watching the real AC/DC back in the 80s when I was going to college down there.
It's so funny, she's grown so much. It's crazy, you know? I mean, I got in it when I was in my early 20s and, you know, stumbled across an owner of a solar install company, started working for them, and then started working for a manufacturer and still working for manufacturers. And I was always doing presentations. And, I always tell people, if you're going to get in solar, like, it doesn't matter where you come from or what you want to do. You can kind of do anything. You want to get in sales. You want to get in manufacturing. You want to get into marketing and design, installation, project management. There's so many avenues you can go at any time, and there's just so much potential for growth, and really the government that just needs to support it more. I mean, California is hurting right now, literally, and Bernadette from CALSA, she's literally on the front lines, and she's helping with CALSA, helping to get solar ballot bans going. But, you know, she just sent me an email and said, you know, I really want to get this going, but I'm so busy with trying to keep California from not getting totally beat up from basically the public utilities is lobbying against solar. So she actually sent me this email, and I feel like I should almost explain it, but she said, sorry I didn't get back to you last week. I'm not sure if you saw the news about the ESLB, but they essentially wiped the California solar installer license off the face of the earth on Thursday. And frankly, I'm surprised more of our members aren't up in arms. This is really dangerous, what it's doing to the contractor landscape. At this time, we can't afford roadblocks and cost increases. So contractors in California are having a really hard time right now. There's so much red tape. Licenses are getting tacked, and it's really scary. So all that to say that we should probably bring solar ballot bans back in an effort to help donate to CALSA so they can keep fighting in Sacramento to keep the California market, you know, alive. So it's not just for California, you know, it's for everybody. But it's cool what Bernadette's doing, CALSA's doing. And we're going to continue to make this a CALSA event so we can keep it a sponsorship. But
so you and your bass guitar will be solely responsible for saving the solar industry. So
not just me.
You hit one wrong note.
It's everyone who picks up an axe, you know, anyone who is going to play and sing and play drums. So yeah, if there's any solar musicians out there, any musicians that work in solar, if you're listening, you know, we need you guys, and we're going to put something together. So we'll figure it out. It's going to take a while to grow to what it was, but we'll get there, you know. But either way, you're going to see something happen in San Diego next year. And InterSolar is in San Diego next year, 2025. So we'll be there, and I'll be sponsoring, K2 will be sponsoring Solar Games, and I believe they want to sponsor Solar Battle of the Bands too, which is really cool.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. And so you worked at QuickMount, and that was like really cool. And then I guess QuickMount and a bunch of other companies, they got all bought up by a European company. I was just looking on your LinkedIn. It looks like it's been over 5 years that you've been working at K2.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, time flies. Yeah, I kind of, in the spirit of rock and roll, I guess you can say, I'm not one for corporate entities. And so I saw kind of like some of these suits coming into QuickMount. And, you know, I love Claudia and Stewart, and they've been working so hard. So I don't blame them for selling it and checking out and letting it grow into something bigger, and they can kind of relax and maybe retire. But I saw kind of the writing on the wall, and I like working for an underdog, and I like building something, I should say. And I'll say, you know, K2 is definitely not an underdog anymore, but they were. And they were known as Everest. So they're also German-based, which I like a lot, because Germans are just like really good engineers. They're really serious about getting things done and built very robust. And when you're working in hardware and racking, you want something like that as a foundation. So K2 is known as Everest because they didn't...
Two tallest mountains, right? Isn't like
exactly.
Himalayas.
Yeah, so K2 is the biggest solar racking company in the world, actually.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they are humongous in Europe, and they're all over the place. They're building such cool stuff. They've got like floating systems they've experimented in Germany and parts of Europe, but they started in Germany and they grew tremendously, and they're all over the world. And so they've opened branches all over the world, and the U.S. opened, I want to say like 2012-ish. I forget the exact year. I should know that, but They opened in like the early 2000s, maybe 2010 or so, somewhere around there. And they didn't have the rights to the name K2 because there was actually not the ski company, but in the same industry, there was like a K2 install company. And long story short, they didn't have the rights to the name. So they just chose the bigger mountain and they went with Everest. So Everest, it was the racking company for many years. And I came on when they were still called Everest. At the end of 2018, I joined them and I wanted to join them to help their technical marketing. So I came on as a director of marketing and, I was obviously helping their training as well. That's what I do. And we finally got the names to the rights because that K2 company in solar fizzled out. We got the rights to the name. We changed it to K2. So we weren't bought. We were just joining the name and it worked out great. So yeah, I went to work for them to build them up and we've grown tremendously. So the marketing is really good. We hired a great team. We built a team. We focused the technical marketing in a way to be kind of more like the old school days of Quick Mountain, in the sense where we're more educational based and making products to solve issues on the roof to make it easier to install. So once that was growing, then I started to build a training team because training started to get very popular. And we built a training team to go out in the field and help with customer service, training, installs, pilots, product development. So we have a couple trainers, which have evolved to kind of product specialists, I guess you can say. So I helped build that. And now that that's running, now I'm focusing on video content, just like you're doing. Education is so, so important. And, I just joined HeatSpring and I put all my NAPSEP classes.
Yeah, that's totally awesome. So I'm so glad to have you there at HeatSpring with all your K2 stuff. And we can also tell people out there too, that we are collaborating and we're going to put some stuff together.
Yeah. So K2 is really cool that they let me build out this training program called K2 Pro. And that is where it talks about roofing and solar as a basis, and then getting into racking and mounting and design and all that as it pertains to racking and site visits and, all the little things I've learned from crews and from being on jobs and installing and product development. I try to put it and make it impactful for people who want to get into it and people who are already installing. Like a lot of people don't think about, what do I look for on a tile roof when I'm doing a site visit? Well, I just kind of built a little studio where I talk about it and I show a lot of pictures and examples and show physical samples of roofing and how it's built. And I love that K2 lets me kind of teach on the basis of roofing, because that's where we started. I mean, back in the day, Quick Mount's slogan used to be respect the roof. So when they got bought, that whole name went away and Quick Mount's just like a little product now. It's sad that it died, because they had a spirit of helping people with education. So that was my favorite part. So I'm really happy that K2 lets me do that. And I have a studio, I have a training room with roofing. And so we're really training on roofing basics. And then we get into solar mounting because there's so many options. And like we said, the old tried and true Quick Mount flashing has evolved into kind of like Elon stick butyls, and they're testing that now. And that's the most popular flexible flashing now. So I talk about that. So I'm really stoked that we're doing HeatSpring. And so, yeah, Sean and I are going to be collaborating where I'm going to take some of my roofing knowledge and mounting knowledge and build it into some of your courses to kind of unpack that a little more so people can really kind of avoid issues. Because, I mean, I'm sure you've talked to Tony Diaz. You're friends with Tony. And Tony, he's got his company, Century Roofing and Solar, in Oakland area, or Hayward, I should say. I was born in Hayward, raised in the East Bay area. So, yeah.
I was born in Oakland.
Yeah. So Tony is like a roofing master and he probably hates the idea that people are moving to butyl, and he probably still uses metal flashing. So that's the big debate right now. And it's so funny to see the industry evolve like this. And I talk about this in my content. And I think that that's why it's really cool for us to talk about this and your trainings, is we should unpack this. Let's talk about it. How has technology evolved? Like, people thought that I was going to be more against the butyl flashings, but I'm not. As long as it's tested and it's easier to install, then let's go for it. But I'm not a fan of sealant-based flashings and mounts, where you're solely relying on sealant and how good the sealant is, sprayed inside. That's just going back to the old, what I call goop in a prayer. You goop up an L foot and pray to the gods that it doesn't leak. And we went through that era already. And
Yeah. Did you come up with that thing, goop in a prayer? Because I saw somebody else saying it and I was like, isn't that Johann's?
Yeah, I didn't copyright it, but I mean, I did come up with that slogan and I did say it first. And I'm going to put my foot down and say, you know, the Iron Ridge folks use it. They didn't come up with that. Those are my old colleagues at Quick Mountain. We used to use it there. So
can I license that from you?
Yeah. Yeah, I should probably trademark it, but I don't really care, you know. But yeah, goop in a prayer was just a time that we all were putting sealant on Elfie because we didn't have any options. And Quick Mount kind of crushed that and made it better. But now, you know, you got companies using sealant-based mounts that have a pocket that you can spray sealant in and, you know, it, rely on that. But I kind of see that as a little bit more on that goop in a prayer era kind of style. But the butyl stuff has been used for centuries and it's been used in roofing. So we actually challenged it before we did it. You know, I got to give Roof Tech credit because they were the first ones to do it. And they were doing it in Japan for like 30 years or more. And they have a lot of comp shingle roofs in Japan. And they might be built different, but they are asphalt comp shingle. And they would put this butyl down and screw right to the decking or to the rafters if they had them. And they were doing it for so long. And we saw that. We thought that was really cool. And the Roof Tech guys had all this science behind it. So we actually partnered with them first to see about this butyl, if we like it, and we tested it further. And then we started using different kinds of butyl, and we found that it's very robust and very good on, you know, asphalt shingle and felt paper, which is, you know, kind of an asphalt impregnated underlayment that's under tile roofs. And I talk about this, and not to get nerdy and technical, but I talk about all this stuff in the K2 Pro segments that I do for K2's heat spring classes. And I'll probably unpack some of this in some of your classes as we get going together.
Awesome.
Yeah, butyl's been tested, you know. I'm sure, you know, I think you were talking about getting me and Tony in the room and debating it, and we can.
Well, yeah, we have it scheduled. I'm doing a podcast with Tony. And
So we got a UFC pay-per-view fight coming up, huh?
Yeah. Well, you guys are good friends, so I'm sure, like, you'll take his side and he'll take your side.
Oh, man, I'd love that. Let's do that. Yeah, I'm excited for that. We'll wrap up with Tony. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun hanging out with you and Tony coming up in the next couple of podcasts. And if people want to see the podcast schedule, just go to solarsean.com/podcast. That's where you find all this stuff out.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I think there's a couple solar podcasts now. Did you ever do work with Nico at all?
Yeah, at the NABCEP conference, he interviewed me there. I was wearing my Michael Jackson jacket during the interview because, you know, it was an 80s theme and we had a lot of fun. And then I did the Michael Jackson song on karaoke, but I changed the words a little bit. It was like, instead of ABC 123, I did it 690.12B2. ABC was changed to 690.12B2 123. And I was just like riffing off of that. So like I kind of mixed it up. I think you were there. You watched me, I remember.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And yeah, that was kind of fun. And then he interviewed me also. I was feeding the convention center with a little grid tie inverter. And so I think it was the first time that probably ever happened there where somebody was like legally Gorilla Solar backfeeding the convention center in Raleigh, North Carolina.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was kind of fun. But yeah, so Nico on Suncast there and lots of other cool Tim Montague's podcast. So that's another good one too.
That's awesome.
But yeah, all kinds of cool stuff out there. But of course, this is the best one because it's got us on it right now.
Exactly. Yeah, this is great. So what about your classes? You have a lot of classes, right? And I'm scheduled to take some of them and then we're going to build those out a little more, right?
Yeah, I have like right now we're at 29, but we're also posting a bunch right now. So we'll probably be up to 35 pretty soon. Some of the classes that we're putting up right as we speak. So before this even gets published, we have like a 2020 NEC class, I think some 2023 NEC. And then also it's a NABCEP PV associate class for the required continuing education for the associate. So if you wanted to renew your associate credential, what you have to do every 3 years is get 12 hours of training. And so this class specifically fulfills that requirement. There's a lot of other classes that fulfill that requirement, but this one specifically does it. And I imagine your K2 also fulfills some of those same requirements for your K2 solar class.
Yep.
All right, cool. Is there anything else that you want to cover?
No, I guess I'll just plug the CALSA, and there's other like THEA groups or solar advocate nonprofits in each state. I think it's really important not to get political, but I'm going to get political because our industry is like under attack right now in California. And if you're working in solar and you're in a certain state, I guarantee you there's a nonprofit going to the Capitol and fighting for your guys's right to do business, and things are constantly under attack. And we're on the solar coaster, as we call it, you know, and solar coasters up and down. It's a crazy ride. And I think it's important to donate to those groups, you know, whether it's an ACES or, you know, NorCal Solar, CALSA, NYSERDA in New York. There's all kinds of them. COSIA in Colorado. They're all over the place. So look them up.
Yeah, join them all.
Yeah, join them. Help them out. Donate. Get involved. That stuff is really important. And Solar Battle Bands is going to support, is a CALSA event, I'll say. So I hope there's more like that.
Yeah, and CALSA used to be called CALSEA. And then they changed it to cover storage. So it's California Solar and Storage Association, that's CALSSA.org. And so Johan wants you to sign up there and join CALSA. And then there's SEIA, Solar Energy Industry Association, that's SEIA.org. They're the ones also that put on RE Plus, and they do a lot of the lobbying for the federal government. ACES.org, ASES.org. And then where do people find you?
I guess LinkedIn. I'm also an avid motorcycle rider, and I actually started a motorcycle group. There's a lot of motorcyclists in solar, and I ride motorcycles a lot. I do adventure riding and dual sport riding. And I started a group called Soul Riders, SOL Riders, and that's on Facebook. It's not big, but I might build that up more. But you can find me on Instagram, 510, which is, you know, East Bay area. 510 Johan. I'm on air doing a lot of motorcycling stuff, some solar stuff, okay. Some music stuff. And then LinkedIn is good too. I check it every now and then, but I'm pretty active on Instagram. It's 510 Johan.
Awesome. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And then I have some people that are interpreting my solar PV associate NABCEP boot camp course that's on HeatSpring, and they're interpreting it into Spanish. And there's a guy, Jose, and he is a professional motorcycle rider. And he also does solar, and he's like doing motorcycle riding for Netflix and stuff. He said he's going to teach me how to do a flip. So I'm looking forward to that. Nice. Can you do a flip?
A flip? You don't want to do a flip. You're talking about a wheelie, maybe.
Yeah. No, I think he does like goes off of a jump and does flips and all that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. But he's already been doing it for Netflix and stuff. So that's pretty cool. And then I had somebody else on the podcast that we released on April 7th. Her name is Alex Catalan. She pops wheelies on electric motorcycles and stuff like that. And she's like, you know, my age in her 50s and stuff like that. And I'm pretty impressed by her. That was kind of a fun podcast. And she worked for like all these automotive electric vehicle companies for like a long time. I think it's like 20 years or something like that. So we'll get her to join your motorcycle group too. And I do have a motorcycle license, but I haven't been riding much lately.
Yeah, you should get back on there. It's good mental health for you.
Yeah, I think I sold my bike when I didn't have a place to store it for a while. And then I just been too busy and too many hobbies too. And so like the hobby that I'm kind of sticking with is the sailboat right now. I was flying an airplane, which was a really small airplane. So it was a Cessna 150, and it's sort of like a motorcycle in the sky.
Nice. That's awesome.
They say you don't get in it, you strap it on. So that's some pretty cool stuff. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Johan Alfson, for being on Sean White's Solar and Energy Storage Podcast. To find out more, go to solarsean.com.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, Johan, say like something like a, ow!
That's not my style. I'll just say, rock and roll, keep on trucking in the solar industry.
All right, rock and roll.